Why has the dollar lost 10% of its value since March? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. The U.S. dollar has lost ground during this pandemic. That literally means that people around the world are less interested in holding U.S. dollars, collectively less interested in either buying from or investing in the U.S. It may not be as bad as it sounds, though. Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, you know, the U.S. dollar is supposed to be the place where the world goes during times of crisis, and yet it has fallen 10% in value since March. Does that mean the world does not view the U.S. as the safe haven it used to?
I don't think it's as dramatic as that. The decline is, you know, it's large, but it still leaves the dollar above where it was, say, in 2018. So I think it's one, the fact that the recovery is proceeding in most of the world. So some of that safe haven fear is leaving the market. And two, it's a reflection that other countries' recoveries are outperforming the U.S. So actually, their assets look more attractive relative to dollar assets.
If the U.S. dollar has lost ground, is there a place in particular where global investors are turning instead?
Yes, it is mostly other advanced economies. So the dollar is losing ground versus the euro or the Japanese yen, but not so much emerging markets. So there's still a lot of risk in the world, and emerging markets are still viewed with a skeptical eye, but it really is the other advanced economies whose recoveries are proceeding, who've managed their pandemics and are moving on, versus the U.S., where we're still struggling to gain a foothold and maybe even losing momentum.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
On Friday, President Trump threatened to ban the Chinese video sharing app TikTok, citing security concerns. While Secretary of State Mike Pompeo now says the U.S. may impose sanctions on a broad array of Chinese-owned software companies that he claims also pose a national security risk. Marketplace's Scott Tong is here with more live. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Sabri.
So what other Chinese tech products might he be talking about, and what might the sanctions be?
Well, Pompeo has mentioned WeChat, which is what Chinese call a super app. It's like our Facebook and Twitter in one, plus voice calls and video calls and shopping. Researchers have found a Chinese database of intercepted WeChat messages with information on U.S. senders and locations. So there's fear the Chinese government could use that info to help find, say, Chinese dissidents here, or American spies, or corporate executives with, say, aviation secrets. What might the punishment be? Well, the Trump administration has already cut off semiconductors to Huawei, the Chinese telecom firm. It's forced other countries to ban Huawei. That's possible. It could also freeze assets of executives or ban financial transactions involving the U.S. banking system. So, Sabri, could be a big menu of options.
What is the motivation here? I mean, is it actually data privacy, or is there, you know, a foreign policy goal here?
Both could be true. The U.S. government does ask American tech companies for data. Now, the argument from many cybersecurity experts is China's different. It doesn't go through a certain legal process. It doesn't anonymize data on credit card or, say, facial recognition data. And as for foreign policy, the suspicion coming out of China is the U.S. wants to create this, quote, decoupled world, a separate world internet, one based on China technology in one half of the world and one based on non-Chinese technology in the other half of the world, a kind of digital iron curtain. So, you know, this happens in this broader context of whether the U.S. is trying to move toward this decoupled technical world.
Marketplace's Scott Tong, thank you so much.
Yep.
Democratic congressional leaders and White House aides are scheduled to resume negotiating today over the next round of pandemic relief. The key sticking point is still that $600 a week in supplemental unemployment. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
Democrats and the White House cannot agree on how to extend the additional unemployment payments, which expired last week. Democrats want to extend the weekly benefit in full through January. The White House wants to reduce the aid in the next round, so no worker is making more on unemployment than they did on the job. Republicans are concerned that that disincentivizes some from returning to work.
That concern is very important in ordinary times.
But we are not in such times, says Seth Harris, who was acting Secretary of Labor during the Obama administration. Harris says the $600 payments have been keeping many Americans and the businesses they frequent afloat.
We're really teetering on the edge of millions of American families facing personal bankruptcy or worse, and that would in turn cause the economy to decline very dramatically.
Meanwhile, the Washington Post is reporting that the Trump administration is looking at options for unilateral action should negotiations fail to produce a deal. Two White House advisors over the weekend publicly called for a payroll tax cut by executive order. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Weeks of protests since the police killing of George Floyd have placed renewed attention on the police-worn body camera. One of the largest manufacturers, Axon, is already on course for a strong year as it gets ready to report second quarter results. The police equipment company is worth more than $5 billion. From Phoenix, Heather Van Blokland with KJZZ reports.
Axon is the Arizona-based company that dominates sales of police-worn body cameras. The company says most of the nation's largest police departments are clients, including the Minneapolis Police Department. Rick Smith is CEO.
It's sort of a bittersweet phenomenon. You know, candidly, you never like to feel good about a situation where the world is in so much pain and the problems are becoming worse, and therefore they're going to get more attention.
Axon also makes taser stun guns and dash cams for law enforcement. Body cams and software have been the focus of the company since it rebranded from Taser International to Axon in 2017. The model that most police departments use sells for $699 per camera per officer, but the company makes much of its money on subscription fees for the software that uploads and stores recorded video. Per camera, that can cost police departments thousands per month. The devices have raised questions from privacy and civil rights advocates, like Matthew Sandoval, professor of race and democracy at Arizona State University. He's a Latinx activist.
This is part of the apparatus of the surveillance state.
Sandoval says police video can be used against peaceful protesters. Kevin Robinson is a retired assistant Phoenix police chief and professor of criminal justice at Arizona State University.
I think that is probably the best thing that can happen to law enforcement is the body-worn camera. Because if you're doing your job, you're doing things the way you're supposed to, it's going to be recorded, and it will back up your story.
Robinson, who is African-American, also says police need to do a better job releasing video footage sooner. In February, Axon released a new camera capable of automatically uploading video to a server as it records. The previous model, widely used by law enforcement agencies, leaves uploading in the hands of the department. In Phoenix, I'm Heather Van Blokland for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.